I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo.
A gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Hello, everybody. Happy Monday, if there is such a thing. Welcome into The Memo podcast. I'm Brad Locke, along with not W. Derek Russell.
No.
That's your name, not W. Derek Russell.
Yes.
Just kidding. No, that's Lauren Wood. Hey.
Hey.
How's it going?
Good.
Great.
It's Monday.
And it is Monday. Monday, October the 10th, 2016.
Yep.
It actually feels like October for the most part.
Mm-hmm. Except for it's going to be a high of 83 today.
Yeah, well, it's better than the highs of 96 we were having a couple weeks ago.
Yep.
Miserable. How was your weekend?
Short.
Wow.
But
sounds like you had a fun time.
Like, I mean, I took a one-day weekend.
Oh, yeah. You had to shoot a ball game, huh?
Yeah, and I'm here today, so.
Yeah, which you're usually off on Monday, mm-hmm. But you're going somewhere this weekend.
Yes.
Where are you going, Lauren? Tell us all about it.
Deadline week, and I'm going up to, it's deadline week for Mud Mag, so it's.
Mud like, Magnolia is yes, our magazine.
Awesome magazine, but I'm in my cousin's wedding.
Oh, that's right. You're going up to
this weekend.
Kentucky.
Covington, Kentucky.
I'm going to be in a wedding this weekend as well. How about that?
Oh, yeah. Did you find a suit jacket?
Yeah, I borrowed one from my dad. Well, that's not too lame, but it fits and it looks fine. So I got a navy jacket. All I got to do now is go find a white button-up shirt because I don't own one.
Brad, these are things that you should have. Like, this is not...
The only kind of shirts I wear are these right here, this button-up striped thing.
Yeah.
And then polo shirts and t-shirts. That's all. I obviously don't own a suit jacket or sport coat. I do have khaki pants, so I'll have that.
But
already.
Again, that's just something you should have.
I don't
in your
want
wardrobe.
It.
I know you don't want it, but so you need, like, on the rare occasion when you need it.
This is like the only time in my life I've needed it.
It's
I mean,
an investment.
The other weddings I've been in required renting a tux. So,
wow, tux. That's really fancy. I've never really been to a wedding
well,
where
most
people have worn tuxes.
Guys wear tuxes.
Really?
I was in my sister-in-law's wedding 5 years ago, wore a tux. I was in my best friend's wedding a long time ago, wore a tux. This is my other best friend
too
who's getting married.
For me.
But this friend of mine, he's like, he's going to be small, nothing fancy.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're just wearing, I think it's just like me and my other best friend are like the groomsmen or whatever. I'm mm-hmm. not sure if there's anybody else. It's going to be small
yeah.
deal.
I guess no one I know is fancy enough to do tuxes at their wedding.
Even for the wedding party?
Yeah, never.
So we do
like,
in the South,
even
Lauren.
Attending weddings, I don't think I've ever been to one with where people form. Yeah, I think it might be a Southern thing.
Well, I mean, yeah. Look how they dress at football games.
It's just true.
I mean, come on. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah.
That'll be fun. Get to go back to Louisiana this weekend, where I lived for a long time.
Fun.
Is that warrant clear yet?
Yeah, I think I'm good now. I think I can go back. I think it just cleared
a
few months ago. I was there a couple of years ago.
All right.
Can't talk about what happened. That's why there's a warrant. No, just kidding. So, yeah, I get to see some people I don't see very often, which will be nice.
That's good.
Yeah, it is good. Mm-hmm. Good to see people you don't see often. Why does your cousin live in Kentucky? Just curious. Because you're from Michigan.
This is true. They lived in Tawas, Michigan.
So they're from Michigan?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. They're my dad's side of the family.
Right.
And then my uncle works for different airlines.
Oh, okay.
And he lived in, like, it's actually technically the Cincinnati airport.
Yeah, it was right near Cincinnati.
Yeah, it's Florence. And they have a water tower that says, like, something Florence, y'all, or, like, welcome to Florence, y'all, like, on their water tower. It
nice.
Says, like, it's awesome.
It's almost as awesome as the Guntown water tower with the crystals on it.
It's really cool. So, but then, since then, like, my cousins went to high school there, graduated, and then my aunt and uncle have moved to Tampa. He works for Allegiant Air, like doing maintenance on the airplanes and everything.
Cool.
So they live in Tampa now, but my cousins still live up in Kentucky. So.
Okay. I guess the better question would be, why are you in Mississippi?
I'm just here enjoying it. So.
Yep. Yeah, we were talking about that before the show. You're finally starting to become acclimated to the weather here.
Yeah, I get cold very easily.
Yeah.
I mean, I've always
you're wearing a
cold,
sweater
so.
Right now.
We actually always joked that my mother, if it wasn't between like 70 to 80 degrees that she was either too hot or too cold and that's happening to me. So
yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yep.
All right. Well, thanks for co-hosting again, Lauren. Mm-hmm. It's always good to have you. Today's show, we're going to have Kenneth Bone with us.
No. Yes.
Wouldn't that be great?
Internet sensation.
He's making the rounds this morning, apparently. He's making the rounds.
Oh, I'm sure he is. Enjoy that 15 seconds. Yes,
I didn't watch
fame.
The debate, but I saw a lot of tweets about Kenneth Bone.
I watched part of it, and I even watched Kenneth Bone and was like, okay, some dude asked a question about the environment. Like, I didn't think anything about it. Yeah.
I don't know. The internet's weird. It picks up on strange things.
Yep. I will say, though, I didn't see this until this morning. The best part, though, was he took all the photos with the disposable camera. So, yeah. He's like,
still
on
make
stage.
Those?
Yeah.
Do you not have an iPhone? I mean, mm-hmm. you know, I guess not everybody has a smartphone. Or maybe he just prefers film.
Yeah.
You know, old school. Yeah. No, but the people we actually do have on the show today, Bobby Harrison, going to talk with us about the. About gas prices and the state economy and all that fun stuff. We'll have Michaela Morris on to talk about this situation with the North Mississippi Health Services and United Healthcare, that whole dispute. And then Lauren here will talk with us about her In Focus photo essay. And there's also a story and video with that about local
package.
Student at Mississippi State and their access program. Mm-hmm. It's a cool deal. So,
Yeah.
So, all right, we have all that today on the show and more. Thanks for joining us. Let's get going. All right, let's welcome Bobby Harrison, Capital Bureau Chief for the Journal, into the program. How's it going, Bobby?
Hey, Brad, how you doing?
Doing all right, sir. Thanks for joining us. Let's talk gasoline prices. Good news for us customers lately. Anyway, they've been down for a while, but not so good news for the local oil sector. And state economist Darren Webb says that there has been a bit of an impact on the state economy due to those struggles. Is that correct?
Yeah, he spoke last Friday. He gave an economic outlook for the state to the Legislative Budget Committee, which includes the Lieutenant Governor, Speaker of the House, and numerous legislative leaders. And he's kind of touched this before, but he came straight out more directly said that the lower oil prices, gasoline prices, has had a negative impact on the state economy in that when the gasoline prices dipped, that makes it a little harder to mine the oil in the southeast. That hurts the state economy in that fact that some people have lost their jobs. He said that there's more people working in the oil industry in Mississippi than you realize, because a lot of them work offshore or in Louisiana and Texas.
Right,
and plus, there is some oil production in Mississippi, too, but there's more in those states and offshore. And some of those people lost their jobs. And when they lose their jobs, that impacts sales tax collections and just payroll taxes, and just is a drag on the state economy. Now, Brad, I mean, Darren Webb's a lot smarter than I am, and probably you too. But it seems to me that the lower gasoline prices would be an upside for the state economy too, in the sure. sense that would free up more money for people to spend in other areas. But I guess that people losing their jobs or having their paychecks cut back has sort of offset some of the benefits of the lower gasoline prices.
Yeah. I mean, I guess, I don't know. It depends on how you look at the math, maybe, which I'm no good at math. So, like you said, Darren Webb's smarter than both of us put together, at least when it comes to the economy and all that. But yeah, like you said, I mean, he says it's impacted revenue collections. And of course, that's been a big issue here lately, Bobby, is revenue collections have been down here in Mississippi. And don't know if there's any improvement that we can foresee with that. But Webb did say that he does, I guess he gave a little bit of hope for the future there, maybe.
Yeah, he talked about, and he said this several times in the past too, that the national economy is growing steady but slowly, and the state economy has been sort of up and down. We've actually had some years while the national economy has been growing where the state economy has shrunk, but it grew a little bit this past year and is growing this year at a slow rate, and he expects that to continue. But he said until we deal with some basic problems, which are, low education level, a lot of unhealthy people, that the Mississippi economy is going to continue to lag behind the national economy. And, you know, those are tough nuts to crack. You know, we that's been going on for a long time in this state, and we see a little headway on occasion, but we still have a long way to go.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, those are just some of the basic things that have held Mississippi back for a while. I mean, it kind of limits the ceiling, or gives you a ceiling, limits how much you can grow as an economy. I mean, he did point out manufacturing jobs have have grown a good bit, and certainly up here in Northeast Mississippi, Bobby, we've seen that.
Yeah. Well, he said that he cited the Nissan plant, and the Toyota plant up in Northeast Mississippi has had an impact too. But he said that, when the Nissan plant came online in 2003, that was a big boost, and the Toyota plant just adds to that. As I said, it seemed like every time we take two steps forward, we take, two and a half backwards. But he said the good news is that there doesn't seem to be many signs of a recession on a national level. So he said if there's not a recession on a national level, that bodes well for the state of the economy in continuing this slow growth. And I hope the folks in the gasoline and oil industry are able to recover. But I stepped at a gas station this morning, and I like this $2 gas.
Yeah, me too. Me too, Bobby. I ain't going to lie. All right, good stuff. You can find this story Bobby wrote with Darren Webb speaking there. That's in Saturday's Journal or online at djournal.com. Bobby, thank you for your time, sir.
All right, thank you.
Wake up and get ready for your day with the Daily Journal's News Break, a quick summary of news, sports, weather, and everything else Northeast Mississippi in a 5-minute video. Shows will be posted every Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. You can watch them for free at any time at djournal.com, Facebook, YouTube, or the Daily Journal's mobile apps for Apple and Android devices. Stay informed on the latest happenings in your community in an easily digestible format. All right, let's bring in health/medical reporter/expert Michaela Mars. Hey.
Well, I don't know that I deserve all that, but I'll take a stab at it.
Put it on your LinkedIn profile. It's fine.
Brad Locke says.
Yeah, exactly. So how's it going?
It's good. How about you?
Not too bad. I don't have to worry about this whole North Mississippi Health Services United Healthcare business, I guess, because I don't have insurance there. But a lot of people are affected by this dispute.
About 7% of North Mississippi Health Services patients rely on United in some form or fashion. And that includes people who come to the hospital in Tupelo. That includes people who go to the community hospitals. But it also includes the North Mississippi medical clinics, which are spread out throughout the region.
Right.
So 7% of people across 33 counties is not a small amount of people.
And what we have here is the dispute is apparently North Mississippi Health Services saying they're not getting properly reimbursed, and so they're not going to provide coverage through United Healthcare.
Well, right. Yes. Well, what's happening is back in April, they noticed that they were getting electronic payments from United Healthcare that came in at $0. Hmm. And they were showing they weren't denied. One imagines they also showed what the patient's responsibility was. All these things, they weren't getting checks for $0. They were getting electronic remittances for $0, which,
weird.
And as they dug, they found this problem potentially goes back years.
Hmm.
So they started talking to United Healthcare. They actually have a standing joint committee with a number of insurers to try to address these problems quickly. And most of the time it happens. And usually when hospitals and insurance companies get into it, it's as they can't come to an agreement on rate negotiations. And you might remember the Blue Cross Blue Shield fight with North Mississippi Medical Center Tupelo that went on for a couple of years back in 2003, I think.
Yeah.
So this is a little different. This is the claims aren't being denied. United isn't saying that North Mississippi Health Service didn't provide the services, but they're not getting paid for it. So what they've said they're going to do is if they can't resolve this, then the provider agreements will terminate.
Right.
Meaning those agreements terminate at various times through 2017. For the Tupelo Hospital, it would be January 1.
Right.
For the community hospitals and their related clinics, it would be May. For North Mississippi Health Clinics, which would include IMA Tupelo, it wouldn't be till August. So this doesn't all happen at one time, and there's still time for them to fix it. the hospital system is saying that United hasn't given them direction on how to fix this. Right. That they're talking, they're communicating, but they aren't getting anywhere. And the hospital decided to go public with this because it's open enrollment for people in Medicaid. It's about to be open enrollment for people in Medicare Advantage. The folks in Medicaid most of them have to pick.
Yeah.
A network, and United is one of two choices.
And Medicaid is keeping a close eye on this, obviously.
Medicaid is watching this very closely. They're very concerned about this. There are some clauses that if there is not a hospital in a geographic distance, if there's not a primary care clinic, if there's not a specialist in a certain geographic limit, that United Healthcare would have to cover the out-of-network provider at the same level it would cover an in-network provider. So there may be some wiggle room there.
Yeah. So what does United Healthcare say about this? They're not really saying much, are they?
Well, actually, late Friday, they came back with a more substantial statement.
Okay.
They remain committed and have said they are committed to finding a resolution on this. They said late Friday night that the hospital system is the one that has not given them enough information to resolve the issue, and that they have offered to have an independent third party investigate the issue and see if they can pinpoint it so that everybody is satisfied that it is handled fairly.
Yeah.
Since those statements came in late Friday, I haven't had a chance for the hospital system here to respond to that. So we're kind of in
You're working on that today, aren't you?
Yes. So yeah. We kind of have an it said.
Yeah, I guess so. So where would this leave people insured by United Healthcare?
They definitely probably need to look at their options. For people who have... That they buy insurance through United on the open market, their insurer or their employer contracts with United to either provide insurance or manage a self-insured plan. They need to look at their options. It depends on how the plan's written, whether or not if they're self-insured, whether or not that they would be affected as opposed to actually buying insurance through United. People are coming up on their open enrollment periods.
Yeah.
So I know of at least one local employer in town that is looking closely. It definitely creates a lot of headaches potentially.
Yeah.
If things go forward, and I think there's every hope that these folks will come to an agreement, potentially you are on the hook if you stick with United and these agreements terminated. You are stuck traveling farther to another hospital or another clinic. If you use North Mississippi Health Services, or you are stuck paying higher out-of-pocket costs, because usually you have a separate deductible for out-of-network. Usually they reimburse at a lower percentage. And what's the real kicker, and this is where people can really get into trouble, the insurance, say your out-of-pocket or your out-of-network rate is 65% as compared to 80% for in-network after you meet your deductible. The insurance company, United, is typically going to pay 65% of what's reasonable and customary for that procedure.
Yeah.
Well, you may get a bill for the full sticker price, but you don't have the percentage that United normally has negotiated off the top. So not only could you be responsible for that other 35%, you could also be responsible for the extra over the top above reasonable and customary.
Yeah.
Or have to go through the headache of negotiating with the hospital or the doctor's office to say, hey, we're stuck here. Can you at least give me the discount you would have given them? Sometimes you might be able to do that, but that's one of the problems that came up with Blue Cross Blue Shield.
Yeah. Well, hopefully they get this resolved soon. And you've had several stories on this over the past week and more to come, I'm sure. Michaela, appreciate your time as always.
Always fun.
Time now for today's news memo. And for more on these stories, read the Daily Journal or visit djournal.com. Students with intellectual disabilities can have a true college experience thanks to Mississippi State's Access Program. Participants attend regular college classes related to their career interests, have a program-specific class twice per week, and work with peer mentors and student workers to set and achieve social and academic goals. They also work directly with academic advisors. Meanwhile, Access staff work with professors to modify course syllabi to fit Access students' needs. Access began in 2010 with one student and has since grown to 10. Among those current students is Tupelo's Spencer Kirkpatrick, who has Down syndrome. Program Director Elizabeth Williams said students graduate the program with skills and experiences to help them secure gainful employment. They also get to establish relationships, make friends, and gain college memories. There are only about 250 colleges and universities in the nation with programs similar to Access.
Three new paintings by Tupelo artist Charlie Buckley depict the city's history. The three paintings have been hung at the Community Development Foundation headquarters, where they are available to the public. They tell the story of the Tupelo Plan beginning 70 years ago when then-Daily Journal owner George McLean and business leaders began working to transform and improve the economy of one of the poorest areas in the poorest state. The paintings portray the early stages of development to the economic successes of today. Buckley divided the work into three separate paintings titled Leadership, Innovation, and Prosperity. CDF President and CEO David Rumbarger said CDF had been looking for just the right artist to tell the Tupelo Plan and the Tupelo story. He said they wanted something to represent the community more than just the building itself.
Members of the Tupelo Historic Preservation Society will host a jazz brunch fundraiser on Saturday to help raise money for the Spain House. The event will take place from 10 a.m. until noon. The society will serve a New Orleans-style brunch with shrimp and grits, egg casserole, bread pudding, mimosas, and Bloody Marys at the Spain House. Project manager Doyce D said they hope to raise enough funds to push forward the project of restoring one of Tupelo's oldest structures. In 2009, the city declared the Spain House a local landmark. 3 years ago, it was relocated to 510 South Church Street. The goal is to restore the house that was built prior to 1910 back to its original period. So far, the porches and portico have been rebuilt. The next phase involves removing the siding to examine the wood, securing the back of the house, installing a handicap ramp, and repair and reglazing windows. Tickets to the jazz brunch cost $30. To buy or reserve them, call Tish Horton at 662-844-9200.
A University of Mississippi student studying in China died on October 1st in Shanghai. Frank Anderson was a student with the university's Chinese flagship program. The cause of his death is currently under investigation. Ole Miss Chair of Modern Languages Donald Dyer called Anderson one of their finest and most dedicated students and said the entire Ole Miss community is heartbroken. The 22-year-old was originally from Winter Park, Florida. He was a fifth-year senior participating in the flagship program's capstone year in China and was directly enrolled in Nanjing University.
It appears the Mississippi Supreme Court is in no hurry to rule on the so-called demon chipmunk case. The case deals with how fast bills can be read in the State House. This past legislative session, several lawmakers complained about House Speaker Philip Gunn having bills read by a computer reading application at full speed. The bills were read so fast, legislators likened it to a demon chipmunk. The state constitution gives any member of the legislature the authority to require a bill to be read in the chamber before a final vote is taken. Now, this is old language that predates computer reading programs. In modern times, having bills read is often a form of protest or a tactic to slow the legislative process. The state Supreme Court heard arguments on July 19th, but it has yet to rule on whether Gunn is allowed to keep bill readings at full speed. And with some Supreme Court seats being contested in November, there seems to be no hurry to make a decision. Representative Jay Hughes of Oxford, who filed the lawsuit claiming the state constitution is being violated by the speed reading bills, does not expect a ruling until after the election. Hey, I want to remind you of a couple of podcasts that we produce here at the Daily Journal Sports Podcast. We've got Prep Rally, a high school sports podcast with myself, Gene Phelps, and Blake Morgan. New episodes air every Wednesday. You can watch the webcast live around 11 a.m. at djournal.com. The podcast version drops later that day. You can listen to it for free in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at preprally.djournal.com. And Ole Miss and Mississippi State fans, check out the Double Coverage podcast. Ole Miss beat reporter Parrish Alford and MSU reporter Logan Lowry release a new episode each Thursday afternoon in which they provide game previews, insight commentary, and analysis on the Bulldogs and the Rebels. Listen to it for free in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at doublecoverage.djournal.com. Okay, Lauren, now you get to be not only co-host, but interviewee.
Yes, I'm ready. Let's do it.
All right. Well, you had the In Focus assignment this week.
Mm-hmm.
And we also had a story related to this in Sunday's paper.
Yes.
And a video that went with it.
Emma wrote it.
Emma wrote the story. Emma Kent.
Mm-hmm.
Get well, Emma. She's out sick today.
Yeah.
But you were there and took mm-hmm. pictures and video. And the kid's name is Spencer Kirkpatrick.
Yes.
Some of you may know Kevin Kirkpatrick here in Tupelo. Mm-hmm. That's
probably
his son.
A lot of people probably know
he
Spencer,
he used to work
too.
Here many moons ago,
yeah.
Long before y'all did. By the time I got here, he was still here, I think. But anyway, Spencer is taking part in this ACCESS program at Mississippi mm-hmm. State University, which is for students with intellectual disabilities. It helps them transition into higher educations. And
yes.
There's, I think, like 10 students
there
in that program
exactly
currently.
10.
So a little
mm-hmm.
bit, tell us what you learned about this program, first of all, Lauren.
Well, I thought it was neat that we were able to feature somebody who's in the program who's from the Tupelo area,
right.
Because he's also the first person from this area to be
right.
accepted.
Right.
There's also another guy in the program. He's from West Point, but,
okay.
you know, more locally, like kind of Tupelo area. We're really excited to feature Spencer. He's also a freshman. He, like, you know, just got accepted and enrolled this fall. But it was really great getting to spend – Emma and I spent the day with him Wednesday, and then I met up with him before the Auburn game
right.
on Saturday and, like, at the tailgate and everything. And it was just awesome. Like, Spencer is really great. He doesn't meet a stranger. Like, he's always
yeah.
saying hi to everybody.
Yeah, he's smiling in just about every picture.
Yeah.
I was going to interject. You mentioned a lot of people know
yeah.
Spencer. Of course, a lot of people know Spencer. Tupelo High. I know when I covered education.
Yes.
I mean, like you said, you never felt like a stranger when you'd see him
mm-hmm.
yeah.
smile.
Oh, yeah. And on Wednesday when we were there, you know, he was working on, like, writing emails to his family. And then he goes once a week to the Kappa Delta sorority house with a couple of their students. And they do, they just do, like, kind of work experience. Like, they were
right.
helping do the dishes
right.
at the
right.
after lunch and everything. And, you know, they're, like, navigating on campus, know what bus to take, what time they have to go. That kind of thing. So they're also, like, not only taking classes and doing classwork, they're also learning, like, a lot of life skills,
right.
like time management and, like I said, like, work experience
yeah.
and then, like, knowing, scheduling out their day.
Yeah.
And
I mean, they're getting prepared for, like, going to the workforce
mm-hmm.
and everything.
Definitely.
Yeah, which is really
so,
cool.
And they, yeah. And he, like, it's very one-on-one, too, which I thought was really cool. Like,
yeah.
he...
Yeah.
The program coordinator, Elizabeth Williams, she said that they sit down with the parents of the student and they talk about goals, kind of the parents want to see for their child. And more often than not, that's like basically being independent and,
right.
you know, gaining those life skills away from home. And then
yeah.
the student, they also sit down and make goals with them. And like one of Spencer's was drink more water. And another, you know, different things
yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
But she's like number one goal for the students is always like making friends
right.
and making memories.
And having that college experience,
yeah. and,
which is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like he's enjoying it already. You followed him to class.
Mm-hmm.
He followed him to his dorm room.
Yeah.
And it just looks like your typical dorm room. He seems to love it there. And followed him to like you said, you're at the game.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you shot the game for the journal and
yeah.
you shot some of him tailgating. And then you got to sit in the stands with him
for a little bit for
yeah.
the game. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the great thing is like all the students in the ACCESS program are all really close.
Yeah.
But Spencer, in the short amount of time that he's been at Mississippi State, has like made tons of friends and has met like tons of people
yeah.
and everything. And while also, you know, gaining his independence and doing everything. So it's been a great, like, growing experience for him.
Yeah, that's really cool.
So,
and like
yeah.
I said, we got the photo gallery today.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the video that was with the story
yeah.
on Sunday. You can find that video, of course, at djournal.com
mm-hmm.
along with the story and the photos. So, yeah, it's pretty.
Yeah.
It looks like it's one of your cooler, more enjoyable in
very fun
in focus essays.
Yeah. I definitely enjoyed working on the story with Spencer. So,
cool.
Yeah.
Good deal. All right. Well, best of luck to Spencer going forward with that program. It's a cool deal. Lauren, good work as always.
Thank you.
The talented Lauren Wood.
Kind of. No.
You're pretty good at your job.
Okay. Not bad.
Pretty good. Thanks, guys. So anyway, so that's it, I guess, for the show.
Yeah.
Hey, how's Michigan State doing this year?
Don't remember. Wait, we have a football program? What? I'm over. I'm ready for basketball season. Let's go. Izzo. Right. Izzo for president.
Your boyfriend's all about the baseball right now.
Yeah.
Of course, he's a Bama fan, Chris. So obviously he's into the football, but he's a Cubs fan, too. So
yeah, they won't be out much longer.
Oh, you think
the Giants
are coming back, down 2-0, gonna rally. It's not unheard of.
I know, yeah. I was like, oh, this is interesting for Chris and Justin. I know they're friends, so it's like Cubs-Giants matchup.
What's interesting about Justin is he's a Bama fan, so he's used to Bama winning.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but he's also a Cubs fan, so he's used to his team losing.
And Buffalo Bills.
Yes.
And he's a Buffalo Bills fan, and he's a Duke basketball fan. Number one, his allegiances are all over the map.
All over the place.
But number two, it's just funny that these two programs.
Oh, Penguins hockey also.
On Penguins hockey, they've been pretty good. Yeah. So he's followed some teams that are just, and almost every year, really successful. And then he follows a couple of teams that are just normally down in the dumps. Now the Cubs are finally good. Mm-hmm. But all that to say that Justin, as passionate as he is about his teams, he also has a really heavy dose of realism, almost fatalism, you could say.
Well, he says that also when he was in school at Alabama that they were terrible. He's like, we went 2-10 one year.
Yeah, before Saban, there was a bad stretch.
And that's when he was there. So I was like, okay.
So is he whatever. Still waiting for the other shoe to drop at the Cubs? Or does he really believe they can win it? Because I think they're going to win
it. He said he will shed tears if they win the World Series. But he's not. He's like, one game at a time. We got to get there first. Yeah. But he said he's like, oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
Okay.
Well, so he's very excited to see them doing well. But he doesn't want to, get ahead of himself.
When the Giants.
Yeah.
Now, see, I've said this. I'm a Cardinals fan, but I didn't grow up hating the Cubs.
Go Tigers.
Yeah, you're a Michigan girl. You like the Tigers. Uh-huh. They just missed the playoffs by losing to the Braves of all teams. But anyway, I'm a Cardinals fan, but I've never hated the Cubs. And so I'm actually kind of hoping they win it this year because I've got a lot of friends that are Cubs fans.
And they're kind of a team the casual viewer can jump behind. Yeah. Because
when I was growing up, they were on WGN all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So if there was a game, if I wanted to watch baseball during the week, it would have to be the Cubs because otherwise it's your NBC game of the week on Saturday.
I knew a lot of Cubs fans up in Michigan, too.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's why Justin's a Cubs fan. He grew up watching them on WGN, I think.
Mm-hmm. He's like, I really loved Harry Carey and then got into the Cubs.
Right. Yeah, well, yeah.
When he was a little kid, so.
Yeah, so that's funny. So, the Cubs and Giants tonight, game three.
Yeah.
I know.
Starts now.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll
Who's
see.
Pitching? Who's pitching, Chris?
Bumgarner for the Giants against Arrieta. It'll be
Bumgarner, Arrieta is going to be one of those 2-1 games.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, Justin and I had to make a pact before the season, actually, because we knew it was going to be a potential season, that we would remain friends no matter what happened.
Yes. Okay.
Well, that's going to be tested.
Friendship is stronger than baseball.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Best of luck to both teams.
Yes.
You love it when people say that. Yeah, the only one team's going to win. Are you wishing them both luck?
I mean,
I don't really care who wins. I just said I know that it'd be nice if the Cubs won, but the Giants, come on, Chris, they've been a little spoiled lately. It's not going to, like I said, I'm a Cardinals fan. They've won it a couple of times recently, so I'm a little spoiled too. So
I get it. I won't be angry, but you never want to see a season end, and so
no, you don't.
Oh yeah,
right now. So
at least you're in the playoffs. Unlike my team.
Yeah.
So unlike your team, Lauren. Both stumbled at the end.
Because, in recent history, everyone's been really excited about the Tigers. They've been doing well, and they, get to the World Series. They haven't quite won
yet. Back in 06, remember when the Cardinals beat them?
Yeah, I remember that. Because we can never root
for the Giants beat them.
Yeah, I remember that one, too. Yep. So, always surprised me, never mind. But, because we can't root for the Lions.
Really?
I never really grew. My dad wasn't a huge Lions fan because
Darius
they were
Slay
always
right there in the front of the sports
so
section.
Terrible.
True. They had Barry Sanders and nobody else.
Yeah, I know. I saw this actually on your computer. The big play
the Lions
Slay.
Won yesterday. Darius Slay, MSU and ICC player.
I know, which is awesome.
Made a
so
big play.
So like,
at the end.
Oh, okay. That makes me excited about rooting for the Lions. I guess because it's typically my friend Kelsey. Shout out Kelsey is a huge Lions fan, and she's like, it's not Sunday without the Lions disappointing you.
I grew up a Cowboys fan. I don't really watch the NFL anymore, so I'm not. Mm-hmm. I can't say I'm a Cowboys fan. And a couple years ago, I was like, I think I'll just be a Saints fan now. Kind of half serious.
Yeah.
And I don't really, because that Jerry Jones is a joke. And now Dak Prescott is the quarterback, and they're playing really well.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, if I was into the Cowboys, I'd be happy.
Saw lots of Dak Prescott jerseys on Saturday.
Do what?
Cowboys or State?
Cowboys. Yeah, I saw a lot of Cowboy jerseys.
Man.
I was like,
he's the
hot
hand. Now the question is going to be in a couple of weeks, is Tony Romo going to come back?
He's a rookie starter quarterback, and he's doing all amazing.
Yeah,
so,
and he and the guy for the Eagles, Carson Wentz, are both tearing it up as rookies, which is unusual. And in fact, Dallas has a rookie running back as well from Ohio State, Ezekiel Elliott. He's also doing well.
Yes, yeah.
So, again, if I were still a Cowboys fan and into the NFL, I'd be really enjoying this right now. So, because I was a big fan back in the 90s when they won all the Super Bowls, and that was fun.
Yeah.
I mean, they had a bunch of hooligans on the team, but I didn't care.
Well, so, the Saints are like the Lions. They'll disappoint you.
Yeah, the Saints are.
At least they've won a Super Bowl in recent history, though.
True, that's true. All right, well, that's it for today's episode of The Memo. You can find us, of course, on iTunes, your podcast apps, or at memo.djournal.com, and we're on Twitter at djournalmemo. I'm on Twitter at Brad Locke. Lauren is on Twitter at Wood, LAU2, the number two.
Yeah, I think my most, well, I retweeted the Daily Journal story, but I also talk about how nothing to look forward to the rest of Michigan State's football season.
You don't tweet a lot.
No, I don't.
It's
usually sports related.
Yeah. Quality over quantity. That's
exactly.
Yeah.
Like Conan O'Brien, he tweets like once a day, but it's always good.
Yeah, I'm not up to that, but.
Chris Kiefer is on Twitter, at Chris Kiefer. There you go. And I was watching a video, by the way, you know, this hurricane that came through. Didn't touch us, obviously. We're still, under a burn ban. But a lot of flooding and whatnot. And I was just watching a video earlier about some flooding in Lumberton, North Carolina, which is where I used to work. My first job out of college was at the newspaper up there, and that paper got flooded 3 feet of water over the weekend. Haven't been able to publish a paper in a few days, and the editor that hired me is still there, and he's working out of a hotel in Charlotte right now, trying to coordinate online coverage and everything. So yeah, it's pretty bad. People on rooftops. I was just watching CNN video. So thoughts and prayers to those people and everybody else affected by Hurricane Matthew. So that's it for the show today. We'll be back on Wednesday with Derek, I assume. Unless Lauren wants to come back, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
I've said it before.
Right.
You know, just as soon have Lauren in here as anybody. All right. Hope everybody has a pleasant Monday. We'll see you next time.